Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you prescribing hope for healthy families. And listen, today I have a prescription that gives me such great joy to give you. Listen, our prescription for hope today is to shout to the Lord. Do you remember that song? So many of us know that song. I can't even tell you how many times in my life I have sung that song, whether it is in church, in worship, whether it's been at a camp where I'm serving as a volunteer, or whether it's just been in my car by myself or in my prayer time. That song has been so instrumental and so impactful to me. And I've been talking in our 52 Habits for Healthy Families about the power of worship. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And yesterday I talked about the power of a daily devotional. Well, this is just God ordained. Let me tell you how excited I am to tell you that our guest today is none other than Darlene Check, an acclaimed Australian composer, a worship leader, a pastor, an author, a speaker. She and her husband serve as senior pastors of Hope Unlimited Church on the central coast of New South Wales, Australia, which has grown into India and here in the United States. And you probably know a lot of her more famous songs, including Shout to the Lord, Potter's Hand, In Jesus' Name, Victor's Crown, Yes Again, and so many more. She's the author of 6 books, and her newest book just released yesterday. It's called Testament, 30 Days of Remembrance. And this is a beautiful devotional that integrates worship. So when I was talking yesterday about habit stacking and integrating these spiritual disciplines into each other so that it makes it easier to do it during the day, here is a great tool for you. I've already ordered my copy. I am waiting for the delivery truck to come up any minute with it. I cannot wait for that. So Darlene, thank you. It is so early in Australia. Thank you for joining us on this bright and sunny morning.
Oh my goodness, it is my honor and privilege to be here.
Well, Darlene, I have to tell you, the first time that I ever heard of Hillsong Worship or heard of your music was actually my music minister. I walked into his office one day. Now, you have to remember, this was back in the 90s before the internet, so my kids are groaning, yeah. You know, and the world was different. We didn't have communication or streaming or anything. And he told me, he said, there is a song that I want you to sing in church. But when I started to go to find it, I had to order it all the way from Australia. And so we anxiously awaited this CD coming all the way from Australia with the music on it. And that was just the beginning of a journey. But Darlene, I know your journey began with the beginning of your life. So what is your testimony? What would you like to share with us about how you came to Christ and to be such an influential worship leader?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you know, I came to Christ when I was 15. I grew up in an amazing family. I got great siblings. My parents, though, went through a terrible split. And at 15, I found myself living out of home. And my father had actually recommitted his life to Jesus. He came and picked me up from where I was living, took me to a youth night at his church, and I got radically born again, like radically saved. And to be honest, Jessica, from that day to this, I still get overwhelmed with the love of God that was chasing me at 15 and is still chasing me today. And, you know, from that time, I mean, I'd already been singing. I was singing full time since I was 10 years old, been paid to sing on a children's TV show when I was growing up. So I was pretty good at performing songs, singing songs, but as the minute I found Christ, I entered into something, a different realm, and it's like I wept my way through, you know, the next kind of 7 or 8 years with God. I was like unlearning how to be a performer. He said, you never need to perform for me. I don't need the performer. I just want your heart. Let's go. So, you know, I met my husband, we served in youth ministry. I didn't want to do music. I felt like music in the church was 20 years behind what was happening. And I'm like, this is all a bit weird. And eventually, because there was a need at our church, Hillsong, well, it was Hills Christian Life Center. There was like 140 people there. There was a need for someone to do music. So my husband and I got involved in there. And, you know, as they say, like I didn't want to worship lead. I wanted to stay in the background. I was very adamant about that. I felt like it was too much responsibility to lead people in worship. Even writing songs, I was like, I'd always written songs, but now there was, I'm like, this is a prayer. And I'm putting a prayer in someone else's mouth. Like, I don't do this, you know, bragging or super confidently. I do this on my knees and on my face before God. And, you know, really, the second Shout to the Lord was sung in a public, well, even when I played it to my music minister, the second it left my mouth, it left my life. It kind of shot out like an arrow. It's very hard to explain because, again, this is the days before there was downloads and streaming and, you know, and I see people kind of working the system now to get songs, but I'm old enough to remember when God just blew on a melody and put it in the hearts of people like that. And so I always, you know, I say to people, when God wants a song out, he'll get a song out. Like, amazing. And that's Shout to the Lord. That's my humble story. I still lead worship like on my knees and on my face because it's a great responsibility to lead people to Christ in that way.
I think that's one of the reasons that your music has resonated with so many people, because it does come from that place of divine inspiration, of complete humility. I mean, that is a really big responsibility. I wrote it down as you were saying it, putting a prayer in someone else's mouth. And that is something that we have to take very, very seriously. And that's one of the big debates. I know, Darlene, I'm sure you've heard this too, in transitioning from hymns to more modern songs of worship, where before, you know, hymns were vetted and their theology was approved and they went through committee and all of these things. And now, you know, anybody can put a song on YouTube and it's great and it's terrifying at the same time. But I have to ask you, Darlene, I have to ask you about that moment of inspiration of Shout to the Lord. It is a song, like I said, I have sung myself so many times in times of joy, in times of great pain, in times of great trial. It has ministered to me, and I know to so many millions of others. How did the Lord give you that song?
Yeah, look, my two eldest girls now, they were just little. We were in that place where we wanted to be in like a full-time ministry expression, but, you know, our reality was not that. We had a struggling business and all of these things. I was singing jingles at nighttime after the girls had gone to bed. And I just remember one day just going into, we had our little piano that my parents had given me when I was five. I mean, there's nothing fancy about this story. It was in the hallway of our little rental that we were living in. I literally, out of frustration, you know, I opened up my Bible, sat at the piano. And really, you'll find Shout to the Lord between Psalm 95 to Psalm 100. It's, you know, I just played the song. I didn't even really write the song. It took about 20 minutes. You know, I was sitting there and it was really just a cry. My Jesus, my Savior, you know, pulling it back to Lord, there is none like you. It's just like, God, in all of this stress and pressure, you are the centerpiece of our existence, and just help me to continue to bring you praise no matter what is going on. And it just kind of, yeah, it was not a struggle to write. I just more sang it than wrote it. And, you know, I held on to it for weeks just thinking, oh, this might be a song. I don't know. When I finally played it to, we had a music minister and a music director, and I made them stand with their backs toward me because I was too embarrassed to play.
No.
And I'd be like, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's part of the Australian thing too. We're very, we don't back ourselves very well, you know, and so I'm like, My Jesus, my Savior. Change it if you want, guys, because I know it's not very well, very good. Lord, there is not, the whole song. I apologize through the whole song. And finally, the music minister said, we're singing that this weekend. And I'm like, what? What do you want? Do you want me to change anything? He's like, nope, just as it is. And we sang it, not even in worship. We sang it over an offering. And I'll never forget, because people started to stand. Just, it was magnificent. It's a moment I'll treasure always for the rest of my life.
That is absolutely beautiful. And I literally have tears in my eyes, Darlene, because I'm thinking of the first time that I heard that song played. It was in church. And I remember listening to those words and thinking, you know, yes, my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days. And on that particular day, it was a hard day. It was a really, really hard day. And thinking, can I say this? All of my days, I want to praise, but be able to say that. Yes, even on the good days, on the hard days. And Darlene, I mean, I'm just one of absolutely millions. And how beautiful that it came from a piano that your parents gave you in your hallway after just these simple rhythms of spiritual discipline. And the Lord blesses that. That is, I think, the lesson for all of us there, because that's just so beautiful. So what ways, Darlene, has music connected? How does it connect people? How do you think that this song, like you said, it left your mouth and left your life, and it was like an arrow around the world. What is the power of music to do that? And especially, like we've been saying, before streaming, this was when music was not easily shared. It was a physical medium. How does it connect people to God?
You know, it's incredible. I think music is one of God's great gifts to humanity. I mean, the saved and the unsaved. When you hear the songs, you know, we're made in the image of the most creative God. When you hear the songs that come out of people, you're like, this is incredible. I equate it to like God gave us these little 8 pieces of glory, like Lego, that he's like, here, see what you can do with this. See what you can do with this. And we get to, like, it's inexhaustible. How can 8 notes be so inexhaustible? It's part of the miracle of what God gives us as this gift of worship. Remember that, you know, there's only 2 things on earth that we get to partake in eternally or take to heaven. One is people. It's the most important thing. But the other one is worship. It's like God gives us this gift of being able to express the almost inexpressible through melody and lyric. And you read the Psalms and you're like, oh, you know, put a melody to it and it will literally shift your life. And it's part of the miracle of, I like to break it down to worth-ship, the worth of God. And, you know, nothing even comes close. Like any amazing music, it's still just music until you come into that place where your heart opens and it gives expression to the glory of God upon you. That's when it kind of shifts into worship. And that's this beautiful, beautiful gift from God himself. You know, Romans says the whole of our lives being expressed as a spiritual act of worship. And that's, again, you know, centrality of Christ in our lives. But then you put it to a melody and it's inexhaustible, the glory of God. Magnificent.
That is absolutely beautiful. And, you know, it reminds me of a pastor who used to say all of the time, there's only 2 things that last forever, the word of God and the souls of men. And when those 2 things are united through melody, exactly like you're saying, there is just something absolutely beautifully spiritual that happens, and we feel God's love for us. Well, Darlene, I have a lot more questions. We'll talk about your new book, about Testament, and how our listeners can use that in their daily devotional to connect the Word of God with worship, or worship, as you said. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more from Darlene Check. See you on the other side of this break. recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there's an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Welcome back, friends. That song is In Jesus' Name by Darlene Check. And guess what? Darlene Check is our guest today. Isn't that so exciting? You know, I always play praise music on this show because it's such an important spiritual discipline for me. It connects me to the Lord. And to be able to have her here today, someone whose music has touched hearts and lifted spirits all over the world, Darlene Check is not just a worship leader. She is a loving wife and a mom and a pastor and a songwriter whose songs like Shout to the Lord have become anthems of faith for generations, for my generation, for generations to come. And I'm so grateful for her passion for worship, her heart for serving others. It just shines through in everything that she does. So gather around, get comfortable, join in as you hear Darlene share some of her stories of faith and the inspiration from the book that she has just written. This is perfect timing. So if you've been following along with 52 Habits for Healthy Families, we've talked about devotionals and music. And here is something combined for you. This is a new devotional based on Darlene's 30 most impactful songs. It's called Testament, and I am so excited about it. And Darlene, thank you so much for being with us today, all the way from Australia, very early in the morning. We are so grateful for you. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's great to be with you guys. I feel really, really privileged.
Well, tell us about Testament. You know, it's based on 30 of your most impactful songs. How do you even begin? You've written so many songs, Darlene. How do you choose the most impactful ones? And how did you get the inspiration to create this devotional journey?
Yes, well, Shout to the Lord was turning 30 years old. And actually, I wasn't even aware. My children made me aware. You know, I've got 3 daughters who are all married. I've got 6 grandchildren, another one on the way. Like, you know, we have a, you know, beautiful, crazy family. They're like, Mom, you've got to do something to celebrate 30 years. So I decided to take a year and re-record 30 songs. So actually there's a bunch of new songs in there as well. But I guess through my children, through Integrity Music, we were all like, you know, throwing songs in the mix, which would be the most impactful, and also as some that, you know, maybe aren't really heard by many people, but were really impactful for me on my journey. So you know, then we recorded these 30 songs. We were going to put out Testament, the album project, which we've done. And I'm like, we actually need a devotional with this because I'm really into devotionals. And I love taking like a set amount of time, like 30 days or a, you know, 90 days or whatever, and kind of do a little journey in God. So Testament, the book, the devotional was born. And, you know, David C. Cook have been amazing because they're like, we'll put at the top of every page where there's a new day, you know, a QR code that takes people to this song. And then I write about, you know, the journey of that song and the theological, like, unpacking where the song came from and just the personal story, I guess, attached to it as well. And what it's meant to do for me, the whole Testament idea, album and devotional, I just wanted to tell of the faithfulness of God and to remind people to remember God's faithfulness in your own life. You know, some of these rocks in your world that you go, oh, that's when God did this and that's when God did that. And I think in a world that is full of, you know, rhetoric and nonsense and people fighting here, there and everywhere, it's like, okay, we've got to take the time, set ourselves in the Word every morning, remember the goodness of God, remember the faithfulness of His love in your life, remember the miracles, and then go into your day as a Jesus follower who is meant to bring the light of Christ into wherever He has placed you today. So that's the kind of short story of the big the big picture.
Well, Darlene, your life is a living testament, and you have been through valleys, you've been through mountaintops, you've experienced some things that are really difficult. It hasn't always been easy. And so to be able to stand and say that, I think that is such a beautiful testament to the goodness of God, to somebody who has seen the good, who has seen the difficult, who has seen, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly that we have. Because we know, I say it all the time here, in this world we will have trouble, but we can take heart. We can be of good cheer because God has overcome the world. And I think that's another powerful element of a lot of your songs, is just reminding us of that, you know, victor's crown, that God has already won the battle that we are fighting. And sometimes it can feel so hopeless, but if we look to that beacon of hope that is in Christ, a hope that does not disappoint, that's the only way that we're going to get through these things. And so, Darlene, looking at all of the things that you've been through in your life, how do you believe that music has been part of your journey, of your faith journey, of your healing journey? How has music played a role in that?
Look, to be honest, when I was going through, you know, I had a year of treatment for, you know, aggressive breast cancer. And that, you know, asking myself, I had to, you know, what do you believe? You know, when you're faced with your mortality, it's like, okay, what do I really believe about healing? What do I really believe about God's sovereignty? What do I really believe about these things? And like sitting myself in worship. And it's, you know, it's really interesting. Some songs I had to like fast forward. I'm like, no, that's not ministering to me right now. I have to sit in the seat of a receiver. You know, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, worship God. You know, that's what the Bible tells us to do. And I had to like sit and receive from the Lord, bask in His presence. And that's what worship kind of invited me into in a deeper realm when I was at the bottom. You know, and look, I love how Pastor Rick Warren says, actually, I think he credits his wife Kay with this, that, you know, life is not good days and bad days. There's two tracks. There's good and bad happening kind of all the time, every day. You know, there's highs, there's lows. And so to position yourself in Christ, where we are seated, Christ in us, the hope of glory, to remind yourself to sit there so that whatever is going on, that part of you is not shaken. You know, people said to me, did you like lose your faith? And I'm like, lose my faith? When I was going through that, quite the opposite. My faith isn't based on good days and bad days. My faith is rooted in the magnificence and of our God and the finished work of Christ on that cross. So it's like, no, my faith was honed, I would say, and worship helped. It just invited me in to a deep place in Jesus. And even though I would never want to go back to that place, there are some things and moments in God that I experienced that I wouldn't trade for anything.
Mm-hmm. How did you listen to music and receive music when you were going through treatment and when you were sick? How did you use it intentionally? Or like you said, you know, some things you think, oh no, I can't listen to that. But did it change in the way that you had interacted with it or engaged with it before? Or did it stay the same?
No, it definitely didn't stay the same. I had to be super intentional. You know, worship for me touches a part of my heart that, you know, I find hard to describe, to be honest. I'm sure you feel the same. I had to be super intentional because some days I felt so fragile that I thought if I allow worship to do what it normally does in me, I think I will fall apart, literally. Mm-hmm. So I had to be really intentional about songs. Look, when I was going in for my last chemo, when I didn't think I could do it, I had a friend who lives in another state jump on a plane. She flew down to me. She laid in bed with me and she says, we're going to play You Make Me Brave, you know, that Bethel song. And I'm like, nope, we're not, because I'm not doing this. She goes, no, we are. And we're going to play this song until you believe it. And she played that song and I wept in the bed. Because I'm like, I can't do this last one because chemo is just hell, I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, we are. And so she played that thing until it was like my heart received a gift of courage from the Holy Spirit and readied me for that last step. And I'll be ever grateful.
Mm. I have had similar experiences in very dark times when my daughter had an immunocompromised condition and she was at the point of life and death. And I can think of so many times, Darlene, like that, where I would play a melody as a weapon, you know, and then when that song came out, I thought, yes, that's it. My melody is a weapon because that was all that I had. And I think, you know, beyond our emotions, worship is a form of prayer. They are powerful prayers that are spoken with us. You said that earlier. You said you are literally putting a prayer in someone's mouth, but it is a prayer that declares truth over our lives and our circumstances. And I appreciate how you said that your friend said, we're going to play this until you believe it. Because sometimes when you're singing a worship song, you just really aren't thinking about it. You just, maybe you know it, maybe it's familiar and you sing it and you think that's nice. But if you really stop and think about the lyrics of that, just like I shared with you, Darlene, and shout to the Lord, all of my days. Do you mean that? I mean, really asking yourself, do you really mean all of my days, every single day that I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love? Because some days I don't feel loved. Some days I feel forgotten. I feel abandoned. I feel persecuted, you know, but not destroyed. And I think that music just helps provide a vehicle for that when words alone fail us, whether that's, you know, just that anthem like you were talking about or quiet reflection or joyful praise. And so what would you say to people who are thinking, okay, this sounds unfamiliar, the way that you two are talking about music, how it so deeply impacts our spirit, our soul, our faith journey. What would you say to people who think, I don't interact with music like that? How would they get started?
I would say, set aside some time, be a little bit intentional. Think about the songs, you know, whether it's secular or think about the songs that move you. What songs move your heart? Start there. Then start to look at, you know, maybe some songs from people that you trust, like a Chris Tomlin or a Jen Johnson or a Hillsong, or you know what, find some songs that you trust and sit in it and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to really encounter him in his presence. You know, I find that music, you know, and I've kind of tried to describe it a little bit, but, you know, there are pieces of music that we may not sing them in our churches on a Sunday, and maybe the writer didn't even understand that they were being used by God in the moment. But there are pieces of music like orchestrations and melodies from different people that literally are like a little snapshot of heaven on earth. But if you rush past them, you know, in this world of rush, 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 if you just rush past them and go, oh, yeah, that was great, amazing. It's like, no, great and amazing was never the intent. This melody is, if you allow it, is going to move your heart towards God. But, you know, you've got to put some time and intentionality on it. And, you know, I remember, you know, learning when I was a child, you will always find what you value by what you put time into, where you spend your time. So it's like, if this is of real value to you, take some time and have a bit of a play with melodies and what is around, and just see what your heart responds to. I find I can worship the Lord with many kinds of music. I'm a absolute presence of God addict. I do think too, it's really inquire of the Lord, David says. Inquire of the Lord and see where he leads.
Those are great words of encouragement. Listen, when we come back, we'll have more from Darlene Check about her new devotional testament. It's released in conjunction with an album of the same name. You can download or stream the album Testament, which consists of re-recordings of Darlene's most loved songs. And this devotional is a very unique experience for those who are hungry to encounter the presence of God through worship, just as Darlene has so beautifully described. We'll be right back on the other side of this break with more worship and message from Darlene Check. I'll see you then.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may he give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Your mighty love, my comfort.
Welcome back, friends. That song is Shout to the Lord by none other than Darlene Check, featuring Zoe Cameron and Australian Christian Orchestra. And we are talking directly to Darlene Check straight from Australia today. And I know that so many of you are like me, that her music has been the soundtrack of your faith, has really provided you with comfort, with joy, with peace, with hope in moments that you've needed it. And Darlene, before the break, you so graciously and transparently shared your cancer journey with us. And I want to share with you, I'm sitting across from my producer here in the studio. And as you were talking, she held up her phone to me, and her husband had a very, very fierce battle with cancer. And it was 11 years ago today, on this very day, that he finished his last treatment. And she showed me, we're crying, she's crying, I'm crying, and we're sitting here shouting to the Lord together, saying thank you for what you have done, for all of it. It's just absolutely beautiful.
Thank you, Jesus. I mean, what do we say? And I mean, this is the gift of worship, right? Because it is our response, like the created responding to the Creator. And what do you say when there's nothing that gives enough, you know, worth to God? So he gives us this thing of worship where we can respond to him, whether it's eloquent or, you know, really messy words or what. Mm-hmm. Whether it's in tune or out of tune, he's just like, just respond to me in worship. And I think that's the beauty of it. Every man, woman, and child. You know, every nation, tribe, and tongue, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. It's the most invitational gift. Mm-hmm. And it never ceases to amaze me seeing what happens when, you know, where God will come where he is welcomed, where, you know, a hospital bed, a congregation, wherever. It's like, so, you know, we draw near to God, and then he draws near, and look out. When he draws near, miracles happen.
That is so true. I really could tell you so many stories, Darlene, in my own life where worship has just been a monument. It has been such a gift from the Lord. And I remember one time in particular where my husband was having to have emergency surgery in the middle of nowhere in a state that we were not from. We were traveling through to go see family at the holidays. And we ended up on Thanksgiving Day having to see this surgeon that I had never met before. And we just basically walked in, you know, with his life and my husband's life in his hands. And I remember feeling so overwhelmed and anxious and just thinking, I've got four small children in the car. What are we going to do? You know, how is this going to work? And as I was standing there in the waiting room all by myself, because it was Thanksgiving Day and the clinic section of it was closed, I heard on the speaker, the word start singing, your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. And I thought, that's the song that's playing. And I look over and I see all of these pictures where this physician had been on mission trips. And I just but it came to me through that song. And I just thought, thank you, Lord. And now every time I hear that song, I'm reminded of that moment. Even when I don't know what the future holds, we know who holds the future. And Darlene, I think that, you know, in a world you and I were just talking about a little bit during the break that just seems so full of chaos and so full of conflict and just so full of uncertainty. It feels like that's the only thing that's certain is uncertainty. And everyone feels on edge and just, you know, just a vague unease. How do you see worship changing that? And especially through your devotional, through Testament, taking this 30-day journey, what could that mean for someone?
Yeah, look, I think what happens when we get caught in the chaos is we get caught on the wrong narrative. And it's easy to do. You know, we got media coming at us every which way, from our phones to our screens, you know, every which way. Worship reframes our narrative Christward. And these are I'm not talking about songs about my feelings about worship. I'm talking more about songs that literally give voice to the worth of God. And it's so important to find yourself in that place. That's why a devotional, mine, others, is so, it's just a lovely discipline to sit and start your day. You know, interestingly, when I read the Psalms, there's many that ask us to think about the early morning. Now, I'm a musician. I love the late evening, but there is something beautiful about starting your day, whenever it starts, with the Word of God. It frames your narrative. Worship takes it into a place where, you know, the Spirit of God is ministering to you. It's like reframing your life. And from that place, we walk into chaos and we bring peace, because that's who we are. We're peacemakers. We are operating in the fruits of the Spirit. Where our feet tread, so must the fruit of the Spirit. And I think if you're not letting the narrative of the Word of God reframe your world every morning, your feet will tread into areas where chaos will be the first thing that comes out of your mouth. And that's not our role as Christ followers. We're to bring an opposite spirit. We're to bring the Spirit of God wherever we go. So, you know, I'm a big believer in starting your day with the Word of God, the worship of God, and being like an arrow sent from there.
Mm. That's been a struggle for me, because I'm a night owl like you. I like the nighttime, but I have made it a discipline to get up and first thing in the morning to read the Word of God. And just exactly what you're talking about, Darlene, when we do that, we bring peace wherever we go. And one of the really important parts, I believe, of having a daily devotional is it is a ministry to the people you worship with. Because if you are going to the Lord every morning and you are communing with Him, you are praying, you are listening to His Word, you're reading His Word, when you walk into worship, you are ready to engage in and participate in corporate worship. Not just, let me bring in all of my garbage from this week that I haven't had the discipline to process. I know this sounds so harsh, Darlene, but it's the truth. You know, if we walk into church and we expect to be served in that way, we expect worship and the sermon to help us process everything in just that 1 hour, and we haven't done our part during the week, I feel like we miss out on some of the blessings of corporate worship. And some of the most powerful worship times I've had are when people have had that discipline through the week and they come in, and sometimes they bring in pain and sometimes they bring in joy, but they bring in that fellowship with the Father. And I want to know, is there a time that you have felt that?
Oh, look, as a worship leader, let's just, you know, if I start there as a worship leader, you know, I see myself, God gave me a picture, because I'm like, how do I do this, Lord, that brings glory to your name? He gave me this picture. He said, I metaphorically want you to wash their feet. I want you to wash the people's feet in your mind so that they're not seeing you. They're not in the end seeing all their troubles. They're seeing me. And I'm like, for myself, like, I can't do that because I feel good or feel bad. I guarantee you every worship leader, Saturday night or Sunday morning, there's going to be some chaos that goes on in your world. And you can't be led by what you feel. We go by faith. You can't even say Jesus is Lord and mean it without the Spirit of God. That's what the Bible tells us. So every time we go by faith, and every time when I go to lead, I picture myself just coming under people, washing their feet so they see Christ and are refreshed in His presence. And I think if you remember that, like, I'm not leading worship or preaching or whatever because of how great I am. That is, I am a woman here by the grace of God, full of flaws like everybody else. I'm here because of the great grace of God. And so we remember that, and we go in and we partake of everything He's given to us And the Word of God shapes us, and the Spirit of God molds us, and the worship of God gives us the ability to express our thanks for all that God has given us.
Well, tell me about an experience, Darlene, that you've had in corporate worship that has that just stands out in your mind, that is a good memory, that God did something amazing or miraculous there. I'm sure you have so many of those experiences, but what's one that you could share with us?
Oh, I've got funny ones and incredible ones. You know, I've got in Zimbabwe, watching the Holy Spirit do what only he could do, and then finding two guards behind me with machine guns, like, wow. You know, I'm like, oh, wow, hallelujah. I'm thinking, well, if this is my last note, it better be a good one. You know, so it's like, and watching the people respond, like, I love leading worship in the developing world, in places of lack, of where Jesus is literally the bread they're feasting on. It's just so different. They're not looking for lights and shiny things. They're literally desperate for life and life in all its fullness. So, you know, leading worship in those environments, there's some layers that maybe in the West we tend to put in that are just not there in the developing world. And so I love leading worship in those environments. I remember being in the foyer of a hotel in Rwanda where, you know, a young man came in and he's like, you're Miss Darlene, you're Mama Darlene. And I'm like, what do you mean, Mama Darlene? He's like, oh, here's me and all my orphan friends. And literally the foyer started filling up with teenagers who had lost their parents in the genocide. And they said, worship has raised us. Every night they just played worship and it sang them to sleep. And the Word of God and the presence of God, those two things coming together, literally raising these children. Being in services where suddenly there's a scream and someone's been radically healed. And then it just starts this like avalanche of expectation. And where there's expectation, that's where like the miracles start to happen. And, you know, so, I mean, I've just got so many great stories. I have stories about me falling off platforms and, you know, because I get so caught in the moment, I'm not aware of where I am, and you know, I've fallen into holes and off the front of a platform. You know, welcome to my life. I've been doing this a long time. My children, you know, I that version of Shout to the Lord you played is me singing with my daughter Zoe. And you know, I'm a family woman in the end, and just to have that legacy now of my children, you know, being in the Word and recognizing the Spirit of God. And when I see the gift of God on their lives, I just go, this is such a joy and privilege. And I'm so blessed for the love of God.
Well, that's what I think. I have no greater joy than to know my children are walking in truth. And Darlene, I just want to thank you for the impact you've had on my life and on my children and the soundtrack, being the soundtrack of our faith and our family. I thank you so much for the ways that God has used you. And if you want to be blessed by the ministry of Darlene Check, you can get her new devotional testament. Mine is on the way and I testify. I will start it the day it gets here. I cannot wait. I'm already playing the soundtrack. Track and listen wherever you are in your worship journey. I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And I challenge you to put worship in your life. You won't regret it. God will bless it. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.